Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of James chapter 3, we were talking about the words bitter and envy and how they corrupt the Christian testimony. Let's continue with that today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Now, let us consider some word definitions. Verse 14 says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Let's consider the word bitter. When we stay in context, we go back to verse 11. Now, do you remember what verse 11 told us? Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Of course not. No, it doesn't. Does one drink bitter water because he wants to? No, he's usually fooled, and he takes one taste of it, and that's it. I know of missionaries in foreign lands finding people sick from their contaminated water. Verse 8 spoke of the deadly poison that comes from the tongue. The Christians should have living waters that flow from their belly, not poison. And when Jesus used that example in John, he was letting Christians know out of their mouths, because it's in their belly. In other words, it's in their hearts. What the idea is there, from their heart, from their very depths of their spirit, is flowing out the things of God. And when they don't, it shows that we're not really walking with God and meditating in the things of God. The context then teaches that bitter is showing that that which is very harsh and selfish. It is a selfish heart that causes variance, which is a work of the flesh. The next word in our text here in verse 14 is envying. He says, if you have bitter envying. This is obviously a jealousy. The wisdom of the world says to promote yourself. You're as good or better than the other person, and you are more deserving than the other. But notice that the words ye and in your hearts shows that this is an evil thing, even if it does not proceed from your lips. It is evil to have bitter envy and strife against brethren or family, even if it's just contained in your heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 lets us know that one day that the thoughts and the intents of our heart will be made manifest before the Lord at that day at the judgment seat of Christ. The result is seen in verse 16. He says, for where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. And that's why I've titled verses 13 through 16, The Way of Confusion. When there's bitter envy and strife in your heart, destructive attitudes, my friend, are going to follow. And those destructive attitudes will so often and most often be toward other people. That can be towards a church or another place. One may even choose the right side of an issue. But understand, envy and strife are carnal weapons. We are not to interpret the words in verse 14 as speaking against controversy on spiritual matters. As a matter of fact, we are exhorted to earnestly contend for the faith in Jude, verse 3. And the faith, speaking of doctrine, we're to be earnest about contending for that and contend as the idea. You stand up and you speak up for right doctrine. He says, strive together for the faith of the gospel in Philippians 1:27. Strive. In other words, fight together as an army for the doctrine of the gospel of Christ. In other words, the gospel, you spread the gospel, you witness, and witness together as a local church, as believers in Christ. Today, there are many Christian psychologists that are telling you not to be in so much in church, you're a fanatic. And you need to do more with the families. There's a problem with the families today in some circles because Christians are giving too much time to the church. You know what? I've looked throughout the Bible and I've not yet found that. And you know, what the thing is why not let the family serve the Lord together in church? For an example, bus ministry. Why not as a family go door-to-door visiting? Why not as a family, if mom or dad teaches Sunday school, the others can help in making calls for the class. The others can help in fixing whatever needs to be there for object lesson, cookies, Kool-Aid, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of things that can involve the entire family in a ministry. So get involved in the ministry. Do that as a family. It doesn't hurt the family as a Christian to be involved for the Lord Jesus Christ. Regardless if your favorite Christian psychologist says it is. You know, it's it's interesting. I've also been looking throughout the Bible to find Christian psychologists, and I'm still haven't found that. Now he says, hold fast the form of sound words in 2 Timothy 1:13. Other words, stick to the word of God. Hold fast. You guard it, is what he's saying. So I'm pointing all these things out to say that we do take strong stands, but we must always speak the truth in love. Now, sometimes our voice must contain righteous indignation that reproves and rebukes, but love must be in our heart. The cause of Christ is not helped if our spirit is bitter with envy and strife, even if we're on the right side of an issue. Sometimes there can be something that takes place in a person's life, and you say, they need to be ran out of the church, or they need to be brought before the church. They need to do this to them, do that to them. But if it was your own son or daughter that did the same thing, if it's your best friend that did the same thing, all of a sudden, there would be more of an idea of, well, let's show love. Let's be understanding. So, my friend, make sure that when you take a strong stand, it's in love for Christ. The word strife here is also interesting, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, James 3:14 says, glory not and lie not against the truth. Strife has in as a part of its definition the idea of party spirit. It was used by the Greeks back in the Bible days to describe a politician who goes out to canvass for votes. And the idea is this one spreads or sows discord and gossip as the politician would against his opponent. And then yet he may have people as a politician that he, you know, he goes out and he has his sandwiches and his iced tea and so forth that the people come, they have the time of fellowship with the guy, and he runs down the other guy. And that's the idea behind this word here of strife. And sometimes that one who spreads discord, gossip, be it in the home, the church, or on the job, or wherever, just to get others to side with them, is an attitude that is not of the Lord. Now notice, he says, lie not against the truth. That is, do not try to justify to man or your own self the bitter envy and strife that is in your heart. Glory not is the command. And it's a very direct command. This is not the persecution that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 5:10-12. There it says, Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now understand again what righteousness is. Righteousness is doing the commands of God's word. It's what we carry out in our deed and word and so forth. Holiness is the inner man. It's the inner relationship with God being pure. So he says in Matthew 5:10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, when he says about the persecution, he's not talking of attack when we're being very harsh and critical and argumentative. We stand for doctrine. We stand for standards. And we stand against sin. Not preference and feelings, bitter envy and strife. No, that's not what we're talking about. But it's a right stand, even if we have to raise our voice on that stand and be very stern. We still do it in love. I have rebuked my children there growing up, and now my grandchildren as they're growing up, oftentimes in a stern voice. And yet, I can tell you that it's been out of a great heart of love that I've done that. I love my grandchildren. Now, when we do things out of bitterness, strife, envy, well, that's not persecution that will bring a reward. This then is something of which we should be greatly ashamed if it's in our heart. We ought to make things right with others if we begin to express these things that are in our heart. Now, when you take a stand, you take a stand on the Word of God. Now, if you come to me and say, Brother Andy, I disagree with your stand, that's fine. You try to give me some scriptures, I may disagree with the way you're using those scriptures, but that's fine. But if you start saying, Brother Andy, you got bitterness in your heart. You got envying in your heart. You can't see that. You have then committed the sin of trying to proclaim yourself as God and that you have knowledge equal to God, and that's wrong. Now, let us imagine that you have sinned against me and you come and ask me for forgiveness. But I won't forgive you. Then saying that I have bitterness or envy in my heart, then you may be right. Because then when I'm supposed to forgive and I don't, then saying that's a result of envy or that's a result of bitterness, then it's not judging the heart, it's looking at the fruit. Verse 15 carries on here. It says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Now, this lets us know that this wisdom is not from above. It is not a goal for the believer to attain unto this wisdom. Do not make the mistake of equating knowledge with wisdom. Worldly wisdom is earthly. Now, earthly is defined as arising from the earth, attached to it. In the Bible, it has a moral import. It's the idea of being attached to this life and the desires of unredeemed humanity, you might say. There is a moral contrast and difference between heaven and the world. If it is not conceived and first wrought in heaven, then my friend, that wisdom is not of God. It's of men, and it is earthly. Listen to John chapter 3, verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.